You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The events mentioned at the end of last week's Parshas HaShavua, where we have Bilam being told by Balak that his services to try to destroy the Jews was not successful. He has Charata that he even called Bilam to do it. And Bilam could obviously, wanting to score a point and show Balak that he's worth some money for services rendered. So he basically told Balak the following information, which Chazal bring down in the Gemara text, and it's also brought down in Midrashim as well. And it's contained at the end of Pashas Balak on Perich of Hay, that if in fact I can't curse the Jewish people, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want his blessed Klal Yisrael Hazama Nivcha to be cursed by me, and my nevuos and my capacities are controlled by the Ribbono Shalom, there's one thing I can tell you, Balak, you can do to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel a sense of anger against the Jews, and therefore remove some of the Hashkocha Pratis from them and show dissatisfaction. And that is, he basically revealed to Balak that one of the things that Ribbono Shalom is very unhappy about is when he sees Klal Yisrael acting in acts of immorality, adultery, zinus, all types of inappropriate sexual behavior. The Chumash already at the end of Parshas Acharei Mos tells us that one of the reasons the Ribbono Shalom threw the Canaanite nations out of Eretz Yisrael, Vatok Eretz Eshveha, was because of the arayas, the sexual perversities being performed by the Canaanite nations living there. So quite obviously this is a very big avera in the eyes of the Ribbono Shalom, the concept of znus. Even the Hamabul Chazal tell us, because of sexual perversities, homosexuality, and other things, the Gezar Din was nechtam, that the Hamabul should be destroyed. So this is something that the Ribbono Shalom views in a very, very intense and very, very specific light. So Bilam told Balak, you want God to hurt the Jews, destroy the Jews, have your daughters, the Benos Midyon and Benos Moav, entice the Jews into sexual misbehavior, and you'll see how the Ribbono Shalom reacts, and therefore your desire to destroy the Jews will be accomplished in a different way. You won't need my klalos, but my eitzah that I'm giving you now at this point in time will accomplish the task in a different way. And in fact, basically speaking, what he did was he had the women of these two countries go out and try to ultimately entice the Jews to sin in a very sexual, inappropriate fashion. Unfortunately, a certain sector of Klal Yisrael acquiesced, and not only did a certain sector acquiesce, but the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, as we're going to see his name named in this week's Parsha, that this individual, who the Torah basically says is Zimri ben Solo, Nasi Beis Av LeShimoni, he basically took a Midianite woman and publicly committed inappropriate sexual behavior with her, challenged Moshe Rabbeinu in what he was doing. And ultimately speaking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got very angry at the Chil HaShem taking place by thousands of Jews committing immoral acts, and a Nasi of a Shevet likewise leading the pack in the immoral behavior. As a result, HaShem wanted these people punished, and ultimately the Torah tells us that the Magefa took place, punishing the participants, and Rachmanu Litzlan. The Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Balak that 24,000 Jews were killed by Magefa as a punishment for the sins of literally being mazana with Benos Midyan and Benos Moav. What stopped the plague from continuing was a heroic act of a person who we have, who's Pinchas, the famous Pinchas, as the Torah is going to mention in the next Parsha, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Heshev Chamosim al Bnei Yisrael, that he was able to prevent Klal Yisrael from being totally destroyed. And Bakanu as Kenosi Besocham, he performed an act of kina, of zealotry, which I'm going to discuss very shortly. Lo Kalisis Bnei Yisrael B'Kenosim, because he acted on my behalf to stop the Chil Hashem and cause a Kiddush Hashem instead, therefore you didn't have more than 24,000 Jews dying, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kina and anger was assuaged, and the terrible destruction of Klal Yisrael was stopped by this heroic act of this Pinchas itself. And we see quite interesting and quite fascinating that not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mention in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, which is this week's Parsha Shavua, that his act of kanoyas on behalf of Hashem, of zealotry on behalf of Hashem, stopped the plague. But Hashem then said, I'm going to give him a Barisi Shalom, a covenant of peace. V'hoyololo zar achra bris kunas olam. Him and his mishpach are now going to be incorporated into the Kohenite section of the Shevet Levi. You had the Levi section, which they were a part of up until now. Now with this act of kenos, Pinchas and his kindalach and children of later generations will be Kohenim as well. Tachas kinei lakov yichapov in Israel, the fact he was Makana on behalf of Hashem, and Hashem gave them a kapara. And then it mentions the name of the Jew who caused the chil Hashem, who ultimately, Chazal tell us, Pinchas killed. What Pinchas did is when he saw, unfortunately, two individuals, the leader of Shevet Shimon, Zimri ben Salu, the Zibei Beisov Shimoni, having relations with a princess from Midyanis, Kazi Basur, Rosh Umas Beisov, and Midyan Hu. When, in fact, he saw such a chil Hashem taking place with total disrespect for Moshe, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Torah, he basically speared them through and killed both of them. And the Gemara talks about all the miracles that were involved in him killing them and literally causing this Avera Chamura to be publicly punished in the eyes of the entire nation of Klal Yisrael as a wake-up call to shake them up for them to realize the consequences. Chazal tell us that before Pinchas actually executed this act and risked his life in doing such, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, how can we let this terrible act take place? Did you not teach us? And this is the Maimon Chazal we're going to be analyzing today. It says, when you see a Jew publicly desecrating the Torah by having relations with a non-Jewish woman, and quite obviously doing this publicly in a sacrilegious fashion, not only did they commit zinus, these Jews who were killed, and the head of the Shevet, but the Benos Moav the Midian also wanted them to bow down and worship the Avodah Zarah they were wearing as necklaces prior to their acts. So there was a double Chil Hashem. It was Arayas plus Avodah Zarah. So the fact of the matter is, Pinchas said, you taught me, Moshe Rabbeinu, that Habol Aramis Kanoim Pogambo, if a person sees this type of interrelationship taking place inappropriately between a Jew and a Gayata, and it's done publicly to cause a Chil Hashem Shemayim, a Kanoi, a person who is a zealot on your behalf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pogambo has a right to take the law into his hand and kill that violator on the spot. He doesn't have to bring him to Besdin. He doesn't have to have any type of Dinei Torah judging whether he's chayiv or not. He doesn't have to have any edus be mechayiv him Mises Besdin. There's no Mises Besdin. This Kanoi has the right, the jurisdiction given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a halacha of Moshe Misinai given to Moshe in Har Sinai, which he then taught to his Talmidim, taught to the rest of Klal Yisrael, that when a person who's a Kanoi, who's a religious zealot, sees the Chil Hashem of a person having relationships and consorting with the Gayata publicly to desecrate Hashem's name in Torah, Pogambo, they have a right to take the law into their hands and kill that person directly. And that's exactly what Pinchas did. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a Shkayach, as I just read the Psukim, gave him the honor of becoming a full-fledged Kohen with his Mishpacha, gave him a Beris Shalom, which we'll see very shortly what that means. And therefore, Pinchas was therefore given the credit Abimakayim, the halacha of Moshe Mesinai, that Araya Balaramis, Kanoim Pogambo, he fulfilled that mandate in total fulfillment, risking his life in order to be able to accomplish this act. This is the connection between the end of Parshas Balak and the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. So what I want to deal with today is understand the concept of what it means to be a Kanoi. Now, the English translation of Kanoi in our terminology, the way we use it, the way we basically formulate it, a Kanoi is basically interpreted to be a Zealot. And this Zealot, to just read you a dictionary definition, is a person who's a fanatical and uncompromising in his pursuit of their religious, political, or other ideals. That's the way that it's portrayed and interpreted. But obviously this person who was the Kanoi was doing this not because he had any personal fanaticism or any type of desire to be a machmir and to do things above and beyond the call of duty and therefore be the ultimate individual to be a fanatic and therefore do something that involves destruction of human life to prove a point. This is a halacha of Moshe Mesinai, that Kanoi, who watches this Chil Hashem taking place, Kanoim Pogimbo means Hashem is giving you the mandate and the ability for you as the Kanoi seeing this terrible Chil Hashem and you can't bear the Chil Hashem that's taking place, for you to take the law into your hands. You're being authorized by the Rebbein Hashem, Echad Biatmo, the ultimate judge, the ultimate dayan when it comes to what happens in this world, to kill the person who's doing this Chil Hashem. And there's no questions asked, and you're allowed to do it. It's meritorious that you do it. And we see that Pinchas was rewarded for this act. But he's called a Kanoi, and the Rabban Hashem uses the Lashon, Bekano es Kenasi Besocham. So we see over here that this type of Kanos is lauded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's appropriate to be a Kanoi. And we see how much of a reward Pinchas received by being this type of Kanoi. It's an interesting phenomenon, fascinating phenomenon. But now the question we have to ask to get us into the really heart of this year is the following question. Is the Midah of Kanoyus, this act of taking the law into your hands and killing somebody who you feel is causing a Chil Hashem, does this apply across the board in every circumstance? Is it always appropriate to be a Kanoi if a Chil Hashem is taking place? Is it only limited to this case of a person who sees the concept of a Bo L'Aramis Kanoim Pogimbo, Halach L'Mosh Mesinai, but this is not something that you can just do and apply in every Aveira? Can you do it to somebody who's B'michal Shabbos? I mean, the fact of the matter is the answer is no. This Kanoyas and this specific Suchus that Pinchas had was limited to a specific case, which I'm trying to point out to you that under normal circumstances, being a Kanoi and a Zealot, when it comes to performing the Ratzon Hashem, is in many Makaras, as I'm going to show you very shortly, not only is the person not given a credit, and given a pat on the back, and given a reward, and ultimately lauded, but there are historical circumstances I'm going to mention very shortly, where a person who's a Kanoi is looked upon as a destructive individual, which in many respects, not only he's not causing a Kiddush Hashem in his Kanos, he could be causing a Chil Hashem, he could also be facilitating an ultimate destruction of Klal Yisrael, or maybe even the Beis HaMikdash. So I want to set the parameters today. What's halachically a permissible Kanos? What's halachically an impermissible Kanos? And give you historical narratives just from the Chumash itself to demonstrate authorized and permissible Kanoyas and unauthorized Kanoyas, just from the Chumash alone, let alone some historical proofs I'll point out as a further proof to my thesis I was sharing with you this specific morning. I just want to mention before I go into the more in-depth into this year, today is the Yahrzeit of my mother, the first year Yahrzeit, and therefore I'm learning L'Zech HaNishmas, Miriam Bas HaRav Ben Tzion Chaim HaLevi, so it should be an Aliyah for HaNishama Mirtz Hashem. Now let's get into the topic a little more in depth. What is interesting is that when Klal Yisrael saw what Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen did, quite obviously, Rashi brings down in Medrash Chazal that the members of the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael were not happy that this gentleman, Pinchas, came along and killed one of the Nassim of Klal Yisrael, no matter what that Nasi was doing. Who gave you the right to do such? Who authorized you? What permissibility did you have to do such? And in fact, Rashi on location quotes a Medrash Chazal that shows you how much disrespect Klal Yisrael had. The Rashi says, when Pinchas did what he did, this is a Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, Hayu Ashvatim Mevazenel, so the Shvatim basically started to basically mevaze him, to put him down, to embarrass him, to literally cause busha to him, and said, do you see what this person, and they called him Ben Puti, he's a son, a grandson of a person who used to do what? Pitim Avi'imo Agolam Avaris Kachavim. His grandfather used to basically worship idolatry. He's referring to Yisro, because ultimately speaking, Elazar, who was Pinchas' father, married one of the daughters of Yisro, and therefore the Shver, the father-in-law of Elazar, was Yisro, who was initially a major idolater in the Mideast at that point in time. And he therefore referred to Yisro, the Zeda, as a person who fattened golem, all types of cows and little baby cows, to bring them as sacrifices to Avodah Zarah. And this person who has such a terrible yichus, what did he do? Look who Zeda was. He killed a Nasi of the Shevet Yisrael, of Shevet Shimon. And therefore, automatically, Rashi says, so what did the Rabbanu Shalom do? To stop this Lashon Hara against Pinchas, they were meyachis to look who Pinchas comes from. Pinchas is Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron HaKohen. He goes, look at who's basically his Eidah was, the great Aaron HaKohen. And if that's the case, don't be chesha b'ksherim, and therefore, quite obviously, think negative about him. So the question that everybody asks, and the one who basically points out this specific problem, is none other than the Chassam Sefer. What the Chassam Sefer says, and this is a very peledic point, is he says the following. What the Chassam Sefer says, I don't understand. When they saw what Pinchas did, people basically calculated the only way this person could have performed such a heinous act of killing a person from Nasi Shevet Shimon was the fact that his actual genetics, where did it come from? It came from his Zeda from his mother's side, who was a Oved of Avodah Zarah. He was a priest. He was a Kohen Midyan who worshipped all types of idolatries and brought korbanos. Only this type of person who has these types of genes would have had the chutzpah audacity to take the law into his hand and kill one of the Nassim of Klal Yisrael from Shevet Shimon. So they wanted to say his activity was predicated upon the genetics he got from his maternal grandfather, Yisrael. The Rabban Hashem says, wait a minute. Look, forget about his maternal grandfather. His paternal grandfather was the great Aaron HaKohen. And if that's the case, quite obviously, he came from a Miyuchas Dikin Mishpacha, the great Aaron of Kohen. He and Moshe were the two greatest leaders of Klal Yisrael from the beginning of Klal Yisrael becoming Klal Yisrael, and they both were responsible for redeeming Klal Yisrael and taking care of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. So quite obviously speaking, this person came from a Gevaldik Yichas of Aaron, and therefore you shouldn't be talking such Lashon Hara about him. So the Chassam Sefer says, I don't understand. Klal Yisrael wanted to attribute this bloodthirstiness and the desire to kill for religious zealotry as a midera coming from the fact that this Pinchas came from a maternal Zeda, Yisrael, where it's known that the Goyim are full of religious zealots who like to kill for the sake of religion. Well, are you telling me that basically his paternal Zeda was Aaron HaKayan, the Ish Shalom, the one who was involved in Ayah Shalom, Raidav Shalom, Ayavis Abris, Makavim, Lutera. How does that help the situation? Because quite obviously, by mentioning that, the Chasam Sofer says, you're still not taking away the negative statements that the genetics that caused his type of bloodthirstiness to kill people who he feels are not religiously acting appropriately is a Gaya Shemita coming from the maternal Zayda. Quite obviously, it didn't come from the paternal Zayda. So by mentioning the fact who his paternal Zayda is, how do you take away the Lashon Hara that Klal Yisrael wanted to cast upon the act of Pinchas over here? This is the famous Kasha of the Chasam Sofer, Peladika Kasha. And what the Chasam Sofer answers, and I want you to listen very carefully, because this is a unique Chasam Sofer, and what he says is very Peladik, and what he says gives a new interpretation to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that I mentioned a couple of minutes ago. He says, I want to ask you a question. Do you mean to say that if Pinchas was an enikul of Aaron HaKohen, that would not also be a justification for what he did to basically kill somebody who's causing a chil Hashem and doing an act of sacrilege, that being a grandson of Aaron HaKohen, we could not attribute that to the genetics of Aaron? You're saying we can only attribute it to the maternal Zayda, and that is Israel? The Chasam Sofer says, I'll prove to you that's not the case from the various proofs that I'm going to quote right now. Number one, let's look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says we should be, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the first chapter of Pirkei Avos, having mitamidav she'aron ha'kohen, we should be students learning and following the footsteps of Aaron ha'kohen. And what did Aaron ha'kohen do? He was an oyev shalom, he was a raid of shalom, he was an oyev esabrios and mekavon l'torah. He basically was a person who loved peace, he pursued peace. He was a person who could obviously had tremendous avos habrios, and therefore by using this mitzvah of avos habrios, showing love and compassion to other human beings, he was a makar of them that they should basically adhere to the precepts of the Torah, and therefore he was a kirov specialist using this concept of avos habrios and makar on the Torah. So frek to Chasam Sofer the following question. If you look at the Mishnah seems to be repetitive. They say that Aaron was an Oyev Shalom and a Raidav Shalom. Now, isn't that a duplication of the same concept? If he's a man who loves peace, which means he was a peacemaker, so of course he was Raidav Shalom. He used to run and try to make sure that peace took place between one human being and another human being. To say he's a Raidav Shalom seems to be redundant and not necessary, once you have designated him as a Oyev Shalom. So says the Chasam Sofer, people don't understand what the Mishnah is mentioning. And I'm going to share with you an interesting secret, he says, which is the right pshat of the Mishnah. An Oyev Shalom and a Oyev Shalom are not the same concept. Oyev Shalom means that a person loves peace and tries to resolve conflicts through peaceful, loving types of activities. You're an Oyev Shalom. And therefore you try to do whatever you can with Ava, with love, with concern, with diplomacy, to cause peace to reign in this world, between nations, between people, as a way of causing Shalom to be the biggest bracha in this world to be fulfilled. What's a right of Shalom? So says the Chasam Sofer, a pshat that is literally mind-boggling. He says, Raid of Shalom means not to pursue peace, but it means to be Raid of Shalom, to push away the peace, to be a Raidif, to try to undermine and literally destroy peace. And instead of acting in a peaceful fashion, when you're a Raidif, you're acting on the contrary, in a militant and a bloodthirsty desire to basically kill those who are doing evil things and making wars with them and causing all types of machlokas to take a person who's a troublemaker or a nation who are troublemakers and literally fighting them to the death to make sure that they don't threaten the peace and the harmony you want when it comes to your existence and your family's existence and your nation's existence in the world. So Rodef means, Shalom means to push away the peaceful format of an Oyev Shalom and act as a warrior, as a militant, as a person who's willing to fight for what's right, rather than trying to make a peace agreement. So according to the Chasam Sofer, Aaron, who was the great Kohen Gadol, came from a mishpacha amongst the members of Klal Yisrael, Shevet Levi, who were not only Oiv Shalom when it was appropriate to be loving and peaceful and kind and trying to literally make harmony between people or between nations, but when they saw the circumstances were such that that's not going to work, and in order to get rid of the adversary, get rid of the person who is endangering your life and the welfare of the nation that you are part of, in that case, you have to not only not pursue peace, you have to be rodef to shalom. Get rid of it. Literally push it to the side and take now a different stance entirely. You're going to become a military person. You're going to become a person who's going to take up arms and have to kill other human beings who are threatening your existence and threatening your ability to basically survive. There's the halach in the Gemara that haredef acha chaveru, somebody is pursuing somebody and wants to kill that person, that the person who's a nirdef, the one who's being pursued by the rodef, by the pursuer who wants to kill him, habola hagecha hashken v'hargo, another halach l'moshe misinai, that you have a right as the one being pursued to turn the tables and to kill the person who's pursuing you before they have a chance to kill you. Habala hagecha hashken v'hado. That's the din of Raidev, which is also another halacha on Moshe Mitzrayim, that they don't need a bezdin to basically dun this person first. In location, when your life's being threatened by this Raidev, whether you personally or you have a Raidev of nation threatening Klal Yisrael as a nation, habala hagecha, before they have a chance to kill you and destroy you, you take the initiative to kill them first, to save yourself, to save your nation, so you can act in a militant and a bloodthirsty fashion to save your life and save the life of your nation by killing them first before they have a chance to kill you. So the word roidef is used in the concept of killing a pursuer, killing somebody who's endangering you personally, or killing a group of people, a nation, who's endangering Klal Yisrael as a nation. Aaron was a member of Shevet Levi, who in historical context, as I'm going to prove to you, were individuals who knew that the two ways of keeping peace in this world, sometimes you have to use Ava, love, kindness, compassion, and you have to be an Oyev Shalom, but there are other times, as the Chasam Sofer, you have to be militant, you have to be determined to destroy the person who is challenging the peace of mind and the peace of spirit and the religious peace that you have of yourself, of your nation at large. And therefore, you have to get rid of them. You have to destroy them. You have to be rid of them in order to literally save yourself and save your nation from physical or spiritual destruction. Aaron, therefore, was not only an Oyev Shalom, but he also was a Roidev. He could be a peacemaker, but he could be a militant military man when it was called for. And therefore, if that's the case, says the Chasam Sofer, you, Klal Yisrael, are attributing Pinchas' act of destroying the Nosei of Shevet Shimon because his maternal Zayda was Yisrael, who's a bloodthirsty idolater who killed people on an ongoing basis for religious fanatic reasons. Guess what? It's not that genes that caused him to do what he did. It's because he is a grandson of Aaron, a member of Shevet Levi. He's a Kohen Gadol. And this Aaron realized there are situations that you can't be an Oyev Shalom. The situations you have to be a Roidef Shalom. And you have to make a milchama. And you have to kill your pursuers. And you have to kill your enemies. And you have to kill people who are involved in a public chil Hashem that Hashem says, if you see that, you have to destroy these people. So Aaron was not only an Oyev Shalom, he's a Roidef Shalom. And the genetic makeup that made Pinchas do what Pinchas did was not based upon the genes of Yisrael, the maternal Zayda. It was based upon the genes he got from his paternal Zayda. And that is Aaron HaKedem, who when he had to be, he was actually a Raidev Shalom. And therefore, that was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Lashon Hara from Pinchas, that he was acting out of character, to be a kohen, be a levi, doesn't mean you have to be a pacifist. Sometimes you have to be a militant. Sometimes you have to take the law into your hands when Hashem gives you the jurisdiction to do such. And therefore, as we find later on, when it came to the Chashmonaim, they were wonderful kohenim in the Beis HaMikdash, but when they had to take up arms to fight off the Greek army because of the Chil Hashem of the Hellenistic religion trying to be superimposed upon the Jews and the contamination of the Beis HaMikdash, those Leviim kohenim became tremendous soldiers, tremendous fighters, destroying the Greeks, losing the Greek army, and therefore causing the Ness of Hanukkah to take place. We therefore see in Jewish history that the Leviim and Kohanim were not only Oyev Shalom, they also were Rodef Shalom in a militant fashion when the situation called for it. I don't have to go very far back. Let's go back to the time of Klal Yisrael accepting the Torah in Har Sinai. When Klal Yisrael, after they met with Hashem and heard the Aseres Hadibros, the Moshe with them went up 40 days and 40 nights to Mekabel the Torah, and during that time frame, the Torah describes terrible Chil Hashem. Moshe didn't come back in time. They made an Egel Azav, and certain people started worshiping this as an idol instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact of the matter is, when Moshe came back down and saw what happened, Moshe immediately went into his active state. And Moshe also came from Shevet Levi. And Moshe said to all those people who were there, Mila Hashem Elai, those individuals who are dedicated to Hashem, who are basically also see the Chil Hashem in the Egel Azal worship taking place over here, come and join me and let us punish jointly the Ovdei Avodah Zarah who are worshipping the Egel as an Ovdei Avodah Zarah as an act of idolatry. The Torah records that the Leviim basically took up swords and killed those individuals who are responsible, Rachmanu Litzlan, for causing the Chil Hashem of worshipping the idol, the Avodah Zarah. Mi LaHashem Elai. So we see over here that when Leviim had to become a Rodef Shalom, had to be militant, had to literally take up arms and kill people who are causing a public Chil Hashem, especially as it relates to idolatry and morality, they were told by Moshe, that's what we have to do. This is the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we see explicitly in the Chumash that the Leviim and the Kohen were not always only nice guys, not only Oyevei Shalom, but when it came to religious Chil Hashem of Avodah Zarah and Arayis and such, in Shvichas Damim, they became Rodvei Shalom, they became militant people, fighting the Melchama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure to eradicate the Chil Hashem and to bring people back to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So we therefore see, if that's the case, Pinchas' midah, Pinchas' attribute, the being a kanoi over here, was basically based upon the genes of his Levitic Kohenak legacy. He was from Aaron HaKohen, who came from Shevet Levi, who is a Kohen, and therefore if that's the case, he acted according to Hashkafas HaTorah and the genetics of Hashkafas HaTorah. It wasn't based upon the idolatrous genetics of Yisro, his maternal Zayda. That's what the Chasam Sofer says, B'teiris Chiddush, is the answer to those who want to interpret this in a negative light. That's not what happened over here. It was done as a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and as a result of that, therefore, quite obviously, Hashem ultimately forgave Klaus with the Chet of the Egel Hazav, the same HaKadosh Baruch, because of Pinchas activities over here, as the militant Levi Kohen took the law into his hands, as is prescribed by Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. He killed the head of Shevet Shimon, stopped the Magefa from killing more than 24,000 Jews who were involved in immorality at that point in time, and Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Hashem says, because Pinchas risked his life. After all, people could have come along, if it were Pinchas didn't kill the head of Shevet Shimon, they could have killed Pinchas. They could have tortured him. There were thousands of people that could have taken him, tore him apart. He killed their Nasi. But he jeopardized his life to fulfill the mitzvah of Abayah Rabbis Kanoim Pogam, to fulfill this Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. He also caused the anger of Hashem to be assuaged, and therefore halach l'masa for no more Jews to be killed. And therefore, if that's the case, since he saved the Jews and caused a Kiddush Hashem rather than a Chil Hashem, the Rabban Hashem says, I'm going to give him now a Brisi Shalom, a Bris of peace. Now, what's the nature of this Brisi Shalom? Here I want to give you at least two interpretations which are quite fascinating. One group of Rishonim say the Bris Shalom was for the following reason. That since, quite obviously, he killed the head of Shevet Shimon, we know that when it comes to blood feuds amongst Mishpachas, when Mishpacha member sees a family member being killed, many of them feel they want to be the Goyel Hadam and kill the person who killed their family member. There were thousands of Jews over there from Shevet Shimon that could have been Goyel Hadam to want to kill Pinchas because of what he did to the head of their Shevet, whether he was justified or not. Hashem says, I'm going to give you a Bris Shalom, a special covenant of protection. Nobody is going to basically damage your peace, your existence, your ability to survive and thrive in this world. So according to this, Bris Shalom was a protective peace surrounding you continuously to protect you from anybody ever taking a come against you for what you did when it comes to killing the head of Shevet Shimon. That's one pshat. But the pshat that I want to mention today, which is to me a more important pshat when it comes to the point I want to make out today, is the one given none other than the Netziv Anatoly Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And what he says very simply, the Bris Shalom was for a different reason entirely. And what was that reason? Unfortunately, when people are involved in military actions in which they have to kill other human beings, that type of action of taking human life, even though it might be justified halachically, and even though quite obviously there might be a mitzvah in the Torah to do it when it comes like the Mises Bezin and such, or fighting a milchama, even though it's a mitzvah, don't you think that after a while, by being a soldier and killing people, it has a negative impact upon your personality? Jews are supposed to be Rahmanu b'nei Rahmanu, we're supposed to be compassionate, loving individuals. When you take a compassion-loving person and make them into a professional murderer as a soldier, don't you think it has a deleterious impact upon their neshama, their soul, their personality, and they become bloodthirsty? Of course it does. No question about it. People who are nice, private citizens, when they become people who are involved in military actions, killing people continuously, develop a certain lack of sensitivity to other human beings, and their rachmanis, their compassion, their love is damaged momentarily. So the Rabban Lashalom said to Pinchas, I'm not going to allow the act that you just did to change the real, true personality of you, Pinchas. And that is, I know you normally, as being a member of Aaron's Mishpacha, are an Oyev Shalom, Reidev Shalom, Oyev Esabrios, you have people, you bring them close, which means you usually want to use love and compassion and concern in your daily activities. The fact that you committed murder and killed this person, which you halachically required based upon Halach Mamash Misinai, I don't want it to damage your personality. I don't want it to make a person who's a peaceful individual into a professional murderer. And therefore, I'm going to give you a Brishel Shalom. I'm going to give you an ability with divine Seata Deshmaya to overcome the negative impact this act of murder might have caused you in changing your personality to make you from a peace-loving person to a militant, murdering soldier and return you to the state of peace and harmony and love, which is your natural state under normal circumstances. And we find this concept later on mentioned by the Netziv in the circumstance of the concept of the destruction of a city. That's the Ir HaNidachas, where the whole city worshipped idolatry. It's a halacha mentioned in the Torah. And if everybody worshipped idolatry and didn't care, the halacha is you have to kill all the members of that city by sword, you have to destroy all their properties, you have to literally destroy the city. And it tells us that what does Hashem say after the soldiers of Klal Yisrael come and they kill and destroy the city and its inhabitants because they became a provoking city of major idolatrous profanation of Hashem's name? The Torah over there mentions that Hashem says, I'm going to give the people who caused the Eirach to be destroyed, which is a mitzvah to do, an ability also like a shalom, a peaceful ability to return back to a normal lifestyle of a Jew who's a Rachman, who's compassionate, who's loving. I don't want them to feel they're now professional murderers and that they should act that way with coarseness towards other human beings. I'm not going to let the mitzvah of destruction of Yanidachas change their personality traits and become now achzarim, cruel people, rather than rachmanim. So the Nesi said there's a theme in the Torah, and that is when you go into warfare and you're a soldier, you have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that whatever you have to do in war is a temporary state of existence, but once you're out of the war mode, return to your normal life, you have to return to a life of peacefulness, of love, of compassion to other human beings, and therefore the Brisi Shalom given to Pinchas was Hashem helping him be able to return to this type of mode of spiritual perfection, of being a Rachman, having concern and love and compassion for other human beings, Avat Abrios, Avas Israel. And this act of Kanos Pogambo should not undermine and undercut that type of personality trait. But there's no question that Aaron's Mishpacha, the Levim, the Kohanim, can turn from one to another based upon the circumstances of the situation they are confronted with the examples I mentioned before. Now, we therefore see that Kanois, in this specific parsha, seems to be lauded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the question I want to pose now, is that really the case? Is that really the Hashkafas Ateya, that Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to act on a normal basis with Kanois when they feel the necessity to do such? Is Kanois the ideal situation of being a religious zealot and basically doing things, including murder, in order to justify terrible things that took place and punishing people accordingly? Is that always applied? Is that always justified? Do you want people to literally live a life of kanoyas and become professional zealots? And that's why the dictionary, when it talks about the zealot, it says a person who's a fanatical and uncompromising person in the pursuit of religious, political, other ideals, which means this becomes their personality. This becomes their mahus. This becomes their essence. So what I'm going to point out now is that the Rabban Lasham does not want us to become professional zealots. He doesn't want us to become professional kanoyim. Sometimes kanoyis is permissible and there's a mitzvah to do such, as the example we just discussed in the Chumash. But under normal circumstances, the Rabban Lasham does not want us to act as kanoyim, even though we might think we're justified to do such. But I'm now going to quote and demonstrate to you that under other circumstances, the Rabban Lasham is not happy when we act like kanoyim and become militants and become fanatical and become uncompromising. And because of either religious or political or other concepts, we therefore become murderers and destroyers and become destructive. Unfortunately, that personality trait we see is inherent in Yishmael. Achab Tichya. Yishmael was told in the Chumash that he's going to have bloodthirsty relatives. And to this very day, the killing of people by a sword, chopping the head off, killing their enemies, is looked upon as a religious ideal in the religion of Islam. To this very day, when it comes to Christianity, they also, at a certain period of time, look what they did during the Crusades. They killed everybody they possibly could, who they felt was an enemy of the church and didn't have their beliefs. The Inquisition is another example. During the Holocaust, look what Nazi Germany did, and the church were co-conspirators, feeling that what Nazis were doing was something that really they should be doing. So they were mechazek, the fervor of people killing other people because you religiously or ideologically differ from them. So what I want to point out to you is that mida of being a professional kanoi is derided by Chazal rather than idealized. And one of the big proofs to this, Talmidos and Talmidim, is a very famous narrative. And the narrative I'm referring to is the narrative of the brachos that Yaakov Avinu gave to his children in Parshas Vayechi before he passed away. He had his 12 children, he gave brachos to his 12 children, and when it came to the children Shimon Velevi, he said the following statement. This is Yaakov Avinu making the following statement in Perek Memtes and Sefer Bereishis in Pasuk Hey and onwards. Shimon Velevi, he mentioned Shimon Velevi, Achim, their brothers, Klei Chamas Mecherosehem. Unfortunately, they're brothers, but their craft is one of weaponry, of murder, of destruction. Besaydim al Tavanashi, Bekalam Atecha Kavodi, I don't want to have my name connected to them when they're acting in a bloodthirsty fashion, as was demonstrated in past and perhaps future historical events. Kiba apam hargu ish. In their anger, they killed people. Uberitzan mikurushar. And in their desire to rectify what they thought was inappropriate, they wanted to kill even a person who's called a shar, like Yosef, and could obviously thought he was a roidev. He wanted to kill his brothers or pursue his brothers, saying lashon hapar, and therefore they were excited to get a hold of Yosef when he came to search for his brothers and have him killed, throw him into a pit. The concept kib apam hargu ish is referring to the fact that Shimon Levi, as we're soon going to see in Parshas Vayishlach, killed off the Anshei Shechem for having stolen Dinah and having the head of the nation over there, the son of the head of the nation, literally rape her and therefore take a hold of her and keep her captive. So to rectify that Chil Hashem, we find over there that Shimon Levi come in while they're, after 3 days, they're undergoing circumcision and they're weak, and kill all the menfolk of Anshei Shechem to pay them back for the terrible thing that they made their sister a zona, a prostitute, a terrible, terrible sexual immoral activity. They contaminated her, and they therefore defiled her purity of spirit and being. So they took nechama, and they took their swords, and they killed all the menfolk of Shechem. Upon this, says Yaakov, Ora apam kiyoz, Evrasam kikashasa, achalkam biYaakov, afisem biYisrael. He cursed their anger, he cursed their wrath. He therefore says, I'm going to divide them amongst Yaakov, I'm going to spread them amongst Israel. What's going on over here? Why did Yaakov, when it came to these two brothers, feel the necessity of singling them out and literally giving a negative view of their personality traits in such a definitive, explicit fashion? So we hear Chazal tell us that what Shimon Levi demonstrated when it came to killing Anshei Shechem was an act of kanoyis. They were religious zealots. And in fact, if you look back in the psukim describing how they reacted to the rape of their sister, and therefore to justify why in the world they therefore felt the necessity to kill off all the Anshei Hashem, because of the rape of their sister and the lack of protest of the people of Anshei Shechem. So one pasuk says, Naval Asib Yisrael Ishkav is Bas Yaakov, V'chein Lo Yaser. The first thing of literally raping a girl who's part of a mishpacha that's so kant pure, it comes to Tara's mishpacha and Tara in all their spiritual and physical activities, to literally contaminate her by raping her. And later at the end, after Yaakov basically was angry with the fact that these boys killed off Anshei Shechem, is of a Yoma Yaakov al Shimon Velevi, Achatem Osi Lahavishenu, you have darkened my reputation to dirty it when it comes to the residents Be'aretz Kanani, Ubeprizi, Amisei Mispar, with just a small little group of people. And you know what's going to happen? They might decide to take Nakam against me and the rest of you for what we did, that we killed Anshei Shechem after making a peace treaty with them and making Tanayim with them, etc., etc. Vanessa will lie and they'll join together, Alai v'Hikuni, and they'll basically smite me, v'Nishmatni v'Vesi, and the whole family will be destroyed. And the answer of the sons of Levi and Shimon was, v'Yomru ha'kazona yaseh sachaseinu. We're not going to allow our sister to be treated as a harlot, as a zona. Quite obviously, it was kanoyis, L'shem Shemayim, that Shimon Levi took the sword and killed off all the residents of the city to show their unhappiness of the Chil Hashem that was performed by these animals who did such a savage activity. And they meant it L'shem Shemayim. But nevertheless, they were censured by Yaakov at that point in time, but despite the justification. And before he passed away, he once again brought it up and gave them tremendous musar, and showed how unhappy he was with what they did, to the point that he said that when it comes to the future ultimate inheritance of Eretz Israel, guess what? Where all the other Shvatim are going to get definitive places to live, and this is going to be the Shevet of Zevulun and Yisachar. They have parcels of land, cities that belong to that Shevet exclusively. There are two groups of people, two children over here that are not going to have their own definitive pieces of land. And who are they? Levi and Shimon. You're not going to get a parcel of land that belongs to you in Eretz Israel. And what the Pasuk says over here, once again, what was the term that their father used? So he used the term when it came to giving them the klalas. He says, I'm going to achalkim b'Yaakov afitzim b'Yisrael. I'm going to divide them amongst the Bnei Yaakov, spare them amongst Klal Yisrael. What does it mean? That Levi and Shimon are not going to live as joint groups. Levi will be dispersed amongst the Shvatim, a couple of Levim here, a couple of Levim there. There'll be our Levim, but they're not going to own a major piece of real estate as being the land tract of Levi. And the same thing with Shimon. Shimon's not going to have his own land tract. They're going to live here, they're going to live there. He's going to disperse them. They shouldn't live as one united community in their piece of land. What's the reason for this? So the Yonasan ben Uziel and many other later on Rishonim explain that what Yaakov was fearful of is after he saw the kanoyis attitude of a Levi v'Shimon, that for religious purposes, for religious further, and fanatical feelings, that they have to always punish back for chilul shem shemayim, they take the sword and they just kill indiscriminately, not realizing the ultimate ramifications in the case of Yaakov, in his case over here with Shechem, what he said to his children is, I'm not saying that we should give acquiescence to the terrible Aveira of raping my daughter, which took place. But realize something. By you killing off the Anshei Shechem after making a public peace deal with them, that we're going to live with them in harmony, and we're not going to basically hurt one another, to then have them undergo a circumcision, and then in their weakness to kill off all the menfolk who are weak and could not fight back, don't you realize we violated the promise we made? Don't you think that the Mid of Emes that I stand for, Yaakov is the Mid of Emes, is now going to be tarnished because I'm no longer a Ish Emes because we made a promise to do one thing and we did the opposite, we put them off guard? And don't you realize you're now endangering the entire Mishpacha because of your Kanoyas and your unbridled Kanoyas? There are more Canaanites over here that can make an army to literally destroy and kill off our entire family. You put the entire family in danger by doing an act of kanoyas at this point in time that was not mandated to be done at this specific point in time based upon all the circumstances I'm mentioning. We're outnumbered. We had made a peace treaty. It's a Chil Hashem. By violating the peace treaty, taking their possessions away. It's true. I understand why you're angry. I understand what I was to make you do what this did. But you weren't given the mandate by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be making the come at this point in time and endanger me and my family, make me a liar. That was not what you were allowed to do because of religious fanaticism. And in the brachas, he therefore criticized them for what they did and said, if that's your personality trait, I have to be careful in the future to know how to place you, because when you have a community, and this is the crucial factor, when you have a community that's established, that the theme of the entire community is one of being a zealot, being a kanoi, and that is the lifeblood, that's the hashkafa, the ideology of that city, they become a destructive force over time. They do acts of terrorism, they do acts of destruction, justifying because of religion and other reasons that they might have, because of fanaticism, because of religious or political fanaticism. We see this happening continuously. We have cities that are inhabited only by Kanoyim. They become a destructive force. And this we've seen in the history of Klal Yisrael for thousands of years. Therefore, Kanoyis, unbridled Kanoyis, even though your Kavanah is L'Shem Shemayim, is not always permitted. It's permitted under certain circumstances, which the Torah delineates. But just to say that you have a right under all circumstances to be a kanoi and destroy human life because you feel an avla was committed is not permissible activity and not halachically accepted. And Yaakov said it very explicitly in the way he formulated his warning and the bracha he gave to Levi v'Shimon, warning them, be very careful with the kanois you have because it could be self-destructive. How ironic it is in historical detail. So what does the Chumash describe ultimately happened over here when it came to Shimon v'Levi? If you go back to this week's Parsha and last week's Parsha, who were the groups upon whom Pinchas practiced the act of Kanoyas to be Noikim Nekama with, that he was justified based upon Halach L'Moshe to do what he did? it was Levi against Shimon. Shimon, who was also a Kanai, and that's why the head of the Shevet dared Moshe and Klal Yisrael to do something to him, because he wanted Mechala Hashem's name and the Torah and take a shiksa for Midian, a princess, and do znus with her. He's acting as a Kanai. Uncompromising, fanatical, disrespectful to Moshe Rabbeinu, as Chazal point out. And who basically was chosen to use Kanois against Kanois? It was Pinchas, who emanated from Shevet Levi, who therefore in the past, when Levi was called upon in the future, when it came to the Egel Hazav and other places I mentioned before, were allowed to exercise kanoyas and kill people who are b'mechal Hashem Shemayim and worshipping idolatry and doing things of immorality. So Levi, Pinchas used the quality of Levi, of Aaron being a roid of Shalom, and did what he had to do. But you have now two kanoyim coming against each other to show you how unfortunately sometimes kanoyas ends up. And you've had in Jewish history kanoyim of Jews fighting other kanoyim of Jews, killing and hurting each other, because of their religious kanoyas, which is halachically inappropriate as a normal midah of conduct, and therefore impermissible. We therefore see from all of this, there's a time and place in the world of Hashkafas HaTorah when you are therefore allowed to be a kanoy, and it's the very definitive. Abayil Aram is kanoyim pogambo, it's halachal Moshe Mishinai. Here you're allowed to use kanoyas. But to make that your normal personality trait and to react to every situation of Chil Hashem as being a kanoi, or things you disagree with politically, religiously, otherwise, to be a kanoi and hurt people and kill people and become a Jewish terrorist to basically noikim nekama, that is not halachically justified. That's not halachically permissible. No, you don't do a kiddush Hashem, you cause a Chil Hashem, and you start acting like the Arab world who are known. That this is their signal, and this is their religious belief, that they were put on this world for the purpose of achar b'tichya, to kill everybody they religiously disagree with, to kill anybody who ideologically they disagree with. They're murderers doing murder for the sake of religion. That's not what Yiddishkeit and Torah is all about. Dacher, dachenoim, v'chonis, v'aser, shalom, the ways of Torah are ways of pleasantness. The ways of Torah are ways of peace, of love, of kindness, of concern, not only for Jews, even for the non-Jewish world. Avas Yisrael, Avat Abrios. Only under certain circumstances of warfare, threat to life, and etc., are Jews allowed to pick up weapons and swords and defend ourselves against people who are being rode to pursuing us and attempting to kill us physically or spiritually, as the Chashanoim demonstrated in the time of the Nes of Chanukah. And we see later on in Jewish history other circumstances very similar as well. So we therefore see Talmidim and Talmidas, that Kanoyas has to be a very controlled type of act. It's only permissible under certain circumstances. That's not the normal personal conduct of a Jew on an everyday ongoing basis. And therefore, learn that Musar and Hashkafa from this specific parsha. Realize once again, Pinchas himself, he might have been a Roid of Shalom, a militant person when he had to do a Halach L'mosh Mitzinah of Kanam Poygambo. But normally he was an Oy of Shalom like Aaron, his Zayda, who also acted with Shalom and peace normally, and only became a Roid of Shalom, a warrior, when the situation called for it. I hope I got the message out to you today. Remember, the Klal Yisrael are the Am HaNivchar. We have to serve as a representative to the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Hashem feels is the way human beings are supposed to conduct themselves, peacefully, lovingly, with the concern of being an Ar LaGoyim, a light to the nations of the world, as a spiritual person who, quite obviously speaking, is a person who is very, very dedicated to showing concern and love and compassion for every human being on the face of this earth. If they act like human beings and they act like mention, we're supposed to be concerned and pray for them, be concerned with them. The Ari HaKadosh told his Talmidim in a legacy, which Chaim Vital gave over to them, that he told his Talmidim, as great as you are when it comes to your spiritual attainments as Kabbalists, being my Talmidim for so many years, and reaching high levels of connection between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he told his Talmidim that not only are you mechuyev to Bein Adlam L'Makom, be very close and intimate, but Bein Adlam L'Chavero, you not only have to have Avas Yisrael for your fellow Jew and Jewess, but you have to also develop avat abriyah, so love and concern for all members of mankind. That's our mandate of being an Arla Goyim. That's our mandate of being the Am HaNivcha. Let's hope and pray that Klaus will realize this and maintain our Kiddush Hashem mode of behavior under normal circumstances. And hopefully by being a Kaddish Shem Shemayim, as the Pasuk says, the Ra'al Gamim, the Goyim will see, Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, the Hashem who is the desires the Baruch of Peace to be our personality traits, Rachmanim, and we should be people who are compassionate and loving, Rachma V'Kamasov. When people see Jews acting that way because of Kiddush Shem Shemayim, because the Shem Shemayim to Mishavi Yodecha, let's hope and pray we will fulfill that mandate and continue that, and B'Shuz Zeh B'Zoch V'Piz Mashiach Tzikenu, and try to practice as much as you can, Avat HaShalom, because Chazal say the Avat HaShalom and Avat Chinim will be Masakim the Sinit Chinim of the Beis HaMikdash for now in the 3 weeks, and cause the schus of the sinus chinim that cause chumina bias to have now the schus of avat achinim and avat abriyos causing the ultimate building of the Beis HaMikdash.
You have been listening to a presentation of benstorah.com.